CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Commercial space. Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black. It is happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. This is his annual birthday fundraiser. Your subscriptions are welcome and wise. Your donations are very generous. Because as you learn about commercial space, you realize that you too can be a space cadet. Perhaps you won't get to pay several million dollars for a Dragon capsule, but you can now contribute to a rover, a lunar rover. Bob, a very good evening to you. Payload space on a lunar rover. What a good idea. Whose is this? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. First, I must once again thank you, all listeners. I'm in the final week of the February fundraiser, and of course, your listeners are amazingly generous, and I have to thank them again for supporting and helping to pay my bills so I can continue to write about space and other stuff. All right, so they put it, this is a lunar rover. There's several companies involved here. No, not NASA. Several companies. A company by the name of Intuitive Machines is building a lander to go to the moon. It's got a NASA contract to build a lander. It's going to launch it on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket later this year. Now, the lander has payload space, and so they have some of the payload space is being used by NASA science instruments, but some of the payload space, about 10 kilograms, is a lunar robotic rover, a small rover, a very tiny rover, being built by another company called Luna Outpost out of Colorado. And it is Luna Outpost that has payload space on its rover that it's willing to sell to anybody. And what makes this story even more interesting is that Luna Outpost is teaming up with a, and this is where I'm not sure I understand this, because this is to do with cryptocurrency stuff and non-fungible, digital tokens. But Luna Outpost is teaming up with another company called Coponic Space to turn that payload space into this crypto non-fungible or digital tokens that people can then use to resell as well. So you can buy the payload space, get it turned into the tokens, and then you can sell that off as well for profit. This is all making money from space. The bottom line is, though, later in this year, we'll have a privately built lander bringing a privately built rover with privately built payloads to the moon, including NASA payloads as well. They're there, but they're less interesting in the long run.
Bob, commercial space has many directions. It's going in many directions. And this next story involves the very large aerospace supergiant Northrop Grumman. Is it considered commercial space?
Oh, this is undeniably commercial space. This was originally being developed by Orbital ATK, I think, before they were absorbed by Northrop Grumman. And what this is a variation of the first story we just said. This is another way that private companies can make money on space. And what Northrop Grumman has is a division that has been building and has launched two what they called mission extension vehicles. These are robotic satellites that attach to a telecommunications satellite using its nozzle as a docking port. The communication satellite has run out of fuel. And so the mission extension vehicle attaches to it, and then it provides new fuel and engines and control vehicles for the satellite and brings a dead satellite back to life anywhere from 5 to 10 years. And they've launched two of these already successfully. Well, now Northrop Grumman has upgraded this whole system to something they now call a mission robotic vehicle and mission extension pods. What they have done is they've separated out the repair capability from the robotic capability. While the mission extension vehicle would have a robot that would attach to a satellite and save it, this new setup has a robot that brings the fuel and repair equipment to the satellite and then leaves, and the satellite has a pod which takes care of the new fuel, new engines, new control mechanisms. And what Northrop Grumman is now doing is it's going to launch its first mission robotic vehicle with some pods on a SpaceX Falcon 9 scheduled in 2024. And what will happen is the pods will be placed in orbit, and the robot will periodically come and grab a pod and bring it to a customer's satellite and attach it. And what this allows Northrop Grumman to do is launch additional pods, much lighter and cheaper, because the robot's already in orbit, to move it back and forth with the robot arm, to grab them and attach them and grab them and attach them. So that's their plan. Northrop Grumman says it already has as many as 30 propulsion pods available for the robot, and their manifest is full through 26, with five other customers signed up to extend their satellite life in orbit. So there's another way to make money that's not launching satellites, but it's repairing satellites using robots to do it, John.
We go to another commercial space, Japanese this time, Astroscale. What's the mission, Bob?
Well, we've talked about it before. Astroscale is a private company, Japanese-based, but it has links in the U.S., that wants to remove space junk. It's developing a technology that it wants to convince satellite manufacturers to attach to their satellites. It would be a magnetic capture device. And what would happen then is this magnetic capture device attached to the satellite could then be used by Astroscale's robot to grab a satellite and then deorbit it when the time comes. And so they've been in the process of doing a technology test of this magnetic capture in orbit. They had a delay. They have a target and a robot in orbit right now. And they did a very close separation and recapture test already. And they had the robot move far away, and then it was going to rendezvous back and capture the target. Well, it was far away. They delayed for what I call unstated technology issues. They haven't said what the reason were. Well, they've now going to resume this space junk capture test. We don't know why it was delayed. I have a suspicion it might have to do with regulators not wanting to be informed of this, but I don't have that confirmed yet.
A mystery. There is something said to be headed to the moon, and it has had different explanations. What in common is it's a booster. It's somebody's booster, say the speculators, but that is no longer confirmed. China denies. Do we credit China's denial that it's a Chinese booster?
Yeah, let me quickly review the history here. Amateur astronomers identified an object that was going to crash on the moon on March 4th. It looked like its orbit suggested it was an upper stage of some rocket. Their first guess was it was SpaceX Falcon 9. That has been dismissed. It doesn't have the right orbital mechanics. Their next guess was a Long March 3C rocket launched by China, in connection, but not the actual launch, of its Chang'e 5 lunar sample mission. China now denies that. They say, nope, their upper stage on this Long C 2014 launch was deorbited and burned up in the Earth's atmosphere back in 15. And there is data from the Space Force that suggests the Chinese are correct, that upper stage re-entered the atmosphere in 2015, which means we do not know the source, the origin of this object that's going to hit the moon on March 4th. It could be still an upper stage from where we don't know, or maybe it's not a rocket stage at all. Maybe it's an unidentified asteroid. Seriously, I tend to not think that. Maybe it is a piece of the Chinese launch, and what happened is their upper stage broke into pieces or separated into pieces, and one piece burned up in the atmosphere, and the other piece has been still in orbit. I'm guessing. I don't know. We don't know. Anyway, on March 4th, something's going to hit the moon, John. That much I can say.
The European Space Agency is looking at the question of, do we need our own manned capsule? That's as much as I understand about this, Bob. Where do the artists and philosophers fit in?
Well, this is European Space Agency and European Union's method of doing things, which is to dither a lot. So they have decided, their astronauts have asked for a independent capability to get them into space rather than depending on the Russians or the Americans or even the Chinese. And so the European Space Agency has put together a committee to study the concept of maybe someday building a European manned capsule instead of depending on the U.S. and Russia. This committee, however, is going to look at the subject for a year. It includes no engineers. It instead comprises, quote, mostly non-space space experts, as well as, quote, artists and philosophers. This just indicates the empty PR nature of this committee, and it's pretty typical, par for the course of the European Space Agency. This committee is basically going to spend a year coming to the conclusion that having a manned capsule is a wonderful idea and space is great and we must do it. In other words, they'll waste a year and get not one iota closer to actually having a manned capsule. And I think this is typical of our elite governmental bodies worldwide nowadays. They can't get anything done. They're do-nothing idiots. They talk a lot, waste a lot of money. They don't get anything accomplished, and this is Europe doing that.
Blue Origin.
Really well.
Blue Origin is associated with Bezos, the world's richest man. However, it has struggled these last years to complete missions. It now wants to complete the New Shepard. They already have a New Shepard. Do they want more of them?
They want more of them. New Shepard is the name of their first suborbital reusable spacecraft. They're using for space tourism. They've flown, what is it now, two or three flights? I've lost count. You know, it's not that interesting once they do it a bunch of times. But the CEO, Bob Smith, who can't seem to get the orbital rocket built, announced last week that they have more space tourists for the suborbital flights than that the single New Shepard spacecraft can handle, and he wants to build more of them. Well, that sounds good, but I got to tell you, I still wonder what's happening with their orbital New Glenn rocket and their BE-4 engine, where the big money is and the really future lies. And so they'll build more suborbital craft to take tourists up on short hops. Maybe they'll make money. But meanwhile, if they ain't going to get Jeff Bezos, who is the second richest man in the world behind Elon Musk, any closer to going to the moon, Mars, or anywhere else, John.
Bob, didn't we have good news about Blue Origin and the BE-4 engine? Wasn't there a positive development?
Well, the positive development is that they say they're moving forward and that they've got their orbital launch pad built and that they've tested the fairing on the New Glenn rocket. But the actual BE-4 engine still is not flight-worthy or has not been delivered to ULA as a flight-worthy.
And that is the one that they've been developing now for how many years? 4 years? 5 years?
5 years. It was 6 years. It was supposed to be finished in 20. It is now 22. It still is not done. ULA is 2 years behind schedule before it can launch its Vulcan rocket because it's dependent on the BE-4 engine, as is New Glenn.
It's just a coincidence that Bob Smith is a NASA veteran and he comes to a commercial space outfit and it slows down like NASA. That's a coincidence.
And if you've been reading Behind the Black, and I know you have been, John, and your listeners will know, I don't consider that a coincidence at all. I consider that actually the explanation.
Sierra Club. Sierra Club's reputation to raise money to enforce the environmental laws that we have on the books. That's its reputation. And this story is peculiar because it's about SpaceX and Sierra Club, two parts of the planet I never thought would in any way collide. What's happened, Bob?
This is a Sierra Club official, but I don't know if it's the official policy of the Sierra Club, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's the culture of the Sierra Club. But a Sierra Club official in Brownsville, Texas, which is near Boca Chica, where SpaceX has its Starship facility, in Brownsville, Texas, this Sierra Club official has been arrested for vandalizing a public mural with anti-SpaceX graffiti. The words she sprayed on this mural were, "Gentrified, stop SpaceX." And I look at this and I say, my God, how is destroying art
going to do anything? Gentrified? That's the word?
Gentrified, stop SpaceX, close quote. One, how is destroying art any different than dirty fuels, which she's complaining about having to do with SpaceX? Secondly, what does this statement, gentrification, have anything to do with SpaceX? Oh, they're bringing major development, new jobs, and prosperity to the Boca Chica, Brownsville area. That's a bad thing. And finally, the irrationality of that single statement. Does that signify a rational conversation that's going to convince anybody? No. But this is how Sierra Club official has functioned. She's been arrested.
All right.
But it does indicate there is hostility to SpaceX in the environmental movement that is growing and is not rational, John.
Finally, 30 seconds, Bob. Virgin Galactic's chairman resigns. What's the significance?
Well, this is the guy who teamed up with, I can't pronounce his name, he's Indian, but he teamed up with Richard Branson to turn this into a public stock company. But like Richard Branson, he pumped and then pumped the stock and then dumped it to make a lot of money, something like several hundred million dollars. He's now resigned suddenly, about the time the company is going to be facing probably bankruptcy and falling apart. He doesn't want to be there when it falls apart.
Virgin Galactic promised suborbital flights. Right now, it's not delivering. Bob Zimmerman. It's happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Your generosity, much appreciated. We're headed to exploration next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.